Good morning. Welcome to worship at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois.
Thank you for joining us for worship, and may God bless your worship with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and it is a blessing to be here with all of you today. It is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and today we remember that we are getting closer to Easter, and we get to feel that joy of Easter peeking through a little bit with the readings that we'll have and the focus of our service today. And yes, we know that there may be some interesting weather that might come later on today, but just as we just sang in that first hymn, we know that we are children of our Heavenly Father. We know that His children He never forsakes, and His purpose is always to preserve us pure and holy, and so we take refuge in Him come what may. And so what a blessing it is to begin this day in the name of the Lord and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to receive His word and to receive His sacrament. Today for our worship, we will follow Divine Service Setting 4. And that begins in your hymnal on page 203. And I invite you to stand as we begin with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the intro it printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions,
and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity.
And in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being.
And you teach me wisdom from the secret heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
During the season of Lent, we omit the hymn of praise, and so we continue now with our salutation and collect of the day. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together our collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our Old Testament reading appointed for the fourth Sunday in Lent comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we turn now to the gradual, which is printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Our epistle reading today comes to us from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And now, having heard God's word, we join together with millions of Christians around the world, and we speak our common Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and we join together in singing our sermon hymn, number 427, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Song of Isaiah, our Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 12. And actually, there are several songs that are recorded in the book of Isaiah, but usually when people are talking about the Song of Isaiah, this is the one that is normally being referred to. It's this song that says that the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. These are joyful words, and they were written at a time that was not very joyful in the history of Israel. But they are a reminder that the things that we see around us in the world, the dark things, the difficult things, they do not last. Because of Jesus, we know that joy is coming. Easter's coming. We always have a reason to celebrate no matter what is going on. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you remember that old Geico commercial where the camel is in the office building and he's going around and bugging everybody and he's saying, "Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Hump day!" Remember this? Did I just make this up? Was it a fever dream? Do we remember this commercial? Mike, hump day, right? Okay. So that commercial is what took that phrase, hump day, and brought it back into like our collective vocabulary at that time. And, you know, I think we're familiar with this concept. In a typical work week, Monday through Friday, Wednesday, right in the middle, is hump day, because that's the day you get past Wednesday, you're over the hump, and then it's downhill toward the weekend, right? I don't know if any of you are paying as close attention to the calendar these days as I am, but it just so happens that 3 days ago, Thursday, the 27th, was our Lenten hump day. Because if you count back to Ash Wednesday, March 5th, and you count every day since, and you don't count the Sundays, Sundays don't count in Lent, so you get to this past Thursday, and that was day number 20 out of 40. And so what that means is we are over the hump. It is all downhill toward Easter from here. And that should be a really exciting thought, although I will admit that as a professional church worker, there is a part of that that sounds a little scary to me, because there's still a lot of things that need to be accomplished before we get to Holy Week and Easter, but that's okay. We'll get there. It's all good. It is a brief glimpse of joy right in the middle of the Lenten season to know that we are over the hump. And I was also pretty excited on Thursday, because this year, with Easter falling so late, hump day also interceded with opening day for the Major League Baseball season. And so in the middle of this busy, crazy time of Lent, it's been kind of nice over this weekend to have a little bit of a joyful reprieve to watch the Cardinals and my Yankees both win their first two games of the season. And we'll see how the rest of the season goes. It's a long 162-game grind, and I know Cardinal fans have kind of been down on the team this year, and we're looking at maybe a really long season ahead. But right now, on opening weekend, hope springs eternal, right? And so that's a beautiful thing. I just learned recently that there is a phrase that exists for this sort of a thing. And I had never heard it before this year. Maybe some of you have heard this before, especially if you happen to be a gardener. But when you have a lengthy stretch of time that, for whatever reason, is difficult or intense or maybe just kind of tedious and gray, but in the middle of that, there's this brief spark of excitement and joy that just kind of pops up. Sometimes that little spark is referred to as a Lenten rose. And it's called that because there actually is a flower that exists that has that nickname, the Lenten rose. It's a flower that is known for blooming earlier than other flowers, usually in the latter days of the winter, right? during what normally is the season of Lent, and the Lenten rose is not actually a rose. It's actually a hellebore, and again, I'm not a master gardener, so I had to look this one up, but a hellebore on Wikipedia is described as a poisonous winter-blooming plant, and it comes from the buttercup family, and it can be in all these different kinds of colors, like reds and purples and pinks and even yellow and white. But these hellebores, these Lenten roses, are popular in a lot of gardens because they bring color to an otherwise colorless season. They give you that spark of joy. They remind you that Lent is not always going to be Lent, that you get over the hump and it's all downhill toward the spring, right? Downhill toward Easter. What a blessing it is to have a Lenten rose to remind you of that. Now, today's readings that we have here before us are, to me, best described together as being like a Lenten rose, now that I know what that phrase means. These readings that we have are exactly the sort of thing that you would expect to feel when you see the Lenten rose, right? They are bright readings and colorful readings. They are a reprieve from that darkness and that grayness that is sometimes cast over us during the Lenten season. I mean, how much more of a celebratory theme can you get than what we have in our gospel reading today? The parable of the prodigal son, the father rejoicing because his lost son has been found and he's come back home and he kills the fattened calf and he puts his best robe on him and a ring and shoes, and what a blessing that is. How joyful that is. Or even in today's epistle reading, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he's talking about really joyful things in this passage. He's talking about how in Christ we are a new creation and how we have been reconciled to the Father, that Jesus has fixed our relationship with God. These are awesome things. They bring us joy. Even in the gradual that we said today for Lent, we're hearing in the gradual that it was because of joy that Jesus endured the cross. But the Lenten rose that I want us to really focus in on today is what we heard in the Old Testament reading, here in Isaiah chapter 12. Now, you got to know, in the chapters leading up to chapter 12, Isaiah spends a lot of time preaching and prophesying about a whole bunch of things that honestly, after a while, start to sound kind of dark and kind of depressing. Because what's happening in this time of God's people's history is that the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem, the capital city, these people are being chastised by Isaiah for their idolatry, their disobedience to God. And Isaiah is reminding them in these early chapters of his book that, as if they didn't already know, besides these internal problems that they're experiencing, they also have a whole bunch of threats and pressures that come from outside of the kingdom. First of all, from the northern kingdom of Israel, which are their own relatives, but the northern kingdom had years earlier split off from the southern kingdom, and they had become, unfortunately, political rivals to their cousins down in Judah. And then there were more obvious enemies beyond that. The more obvious enemies were like the Assyrians, who shortly after Isaiah's prophecy here would come in and actually wipe out that northern kingdom, and they would have their sights set on Jerusalem next. And yet with all of that stuff going on, there's also these words of hope in Isaiah's prophecy. He promises that there would be salvation, and that salvation would come because of this king who would be born into the world, a descendant of David. And you remember, it was just a couple of months ago that we were hearing some of Isaiah's prophecies earlier in this book, like in Isaiah chapter 7, where we hear that this king is going to be born of a virgin. And in Isaiah chapter 9, when we hear that he's going to be our wonderful counselor and he's going to be the Prince of Peace. Isaiah promises that God will send his Messiah. And when that happens, then God's people are going to be able to sing the song of Isaiah that is recorded for us here in chapter 12. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That's your Lenten rose right there. That's your brief glimpse of joy in the midst of all of the difficulties God's people faced. Even though when he wrote this, when he preached this to them, God's people were definitely not out of the woods yet. They still had the harsh judgment words over their sin ringing in their ears. And they still had the pressures and dangers from their enemies surrounding them still pressing down upon them. And in the middle of all of that, God places upon their lips this song. Verse 6, shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. There is still something to smile about. There is still something to look forward to. There's still something to brighten up the darkness and get God's people over the hump for the next 700 years until the Messiah really would be born into the world. It's all downhill from there. Because God promised that he would save his people. And God keeps his promises. So their sins and their enemies and their sorrows, none of them get to have the last word because that belongs to God. And that is definitely something for God's people to sing about. And obviously, we are not just talking about Isaiah's original hearers when we talk about these sorts of things. But this applies to us too, today. And we have these words of Isaiah's song. We hear them in a new way because the day that those people back then were looking forward to, we know that day has already come. We know that the Messiah was born. We know that Emmanuel, God with us, finally did show up just like he promised. And where Emmanuel, Jesus, goes into the world, that's where you see the world react with joy. You see it all throughout the Gospels, how Jesus gives his people a reason to react to him with joy, to be filled with joy. When he speaks about God's kingdom, Jesus describes that kingdom like a celebratory feast, like a marriage supper, a wedding banquet. Or like the joy that somebody feels when they finally get to bring in all the harvest. Or, again, like in today's gospel, it's the kind of joy that a father would feel who had a lost son, and all of a sudden that son comes back home and he's safe and sound. Joy goes wherever Jesus goes. And yes, that also includes the cross. Joy goes with Jesus to the cross. Because as terrible and as gruesome as the events of Good Friday were, the cross of Christ and his resurrection have led to our sins being forgiven. It has led to our enemies being destroyed. It has led to our very souls being given new life and hope. In Jesus, the Lenten rose has bloomed. And that's a beautiful thing for us to remember because we live our lives here 2,000 years later and we live in a world that can feel so, what's the word? Lenty, right? So cold, so dark, so gray. But the Lenten rose in the garden brings that promise that Lent is not going to be Lent forever. The Lenten rose that is Jesus promises us the same. We have a day that we're looking forward to, and it's not just April 20th, by the way, which happens to be Easter Sunday. But we are looking forward always to the end of the world. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but we're always looking forward to the day when sin and death will be destroyed forever. We're always looking forward to the day when God is going to restore everything back to the way it used to be, the way it's supposed to be. And it's always hard for us to live having that promise, and yet we still have to go through that long daily grind of life as we know it. And it makes it especially hard because we don't know exactly when that last day is going to come. But what we know for sure is that we are over the hump. We are over Calvary's mournful mountain. It really is all downhill from here. And God has given us every reason to have eternal joy in Christ, because in him the salvation of our God has come. And so what he does is the same as what he did for the people Isaiah was preaching to. He gives us a song to sing. Even in the middle of Lent, he gives us a song. He places it upon our lips. And I know I'm not supposed to say it during the Lenten season, but it starts with all and it ends with ooyah. And before you know it, we're all going to be singing it a lot around here. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I have a few updates for our prayer list today. We continue to pray for Wally Eichmeyer, who is still hospitalized. He's been kind of moving around a lot from hospital to hospital. Currently, he is at Washington County Hospital in Nashville, just working on restoring his strength so that hopefully he will be able to come back home soon. Today, we also remember the family and friends of Manette Kramer, our neighbor here in Hoyleton, who recently passed away. And her funeral is going to be this coming Tuesday, April 1st. It'll be 11 o'clock in the morning over at Zion UCC around the corner. Visitation begins at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. We also remember the family and friends of John Peterson, who was the uncle of Brent Reeder, and John received his Christian burial yesterday. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. Give us a proper knowledge of the evil we have done in your sight. Move us to confess our offenses against you and justify us with your holy absolution. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you delight in truth in the inward being, and teach us wisdom in the secret heart. Give to our pastors every good gift as your ambassadors, that we may grow in faith and hope. We ask you to give an extra measure of your grace to our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Father of mercy, remember your baptized children wherever they may be found. Bless our households that they may be places of refuge in this dark and broken world. Give us joy in the midst of our Lenten sorrow. We rejoice especially with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Curtis, Brady, Norman, Dawn, Carol, Ella, Dustin, Mabel, Case, Annie, and Audra. We also pray that you would bless husbands and wives, those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Glenn and Cheryl Sockleben. Help us to shine the light of your love into our homes and into our world. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in Christ, you reconciled the world to yourself. Watch over our nation and all whom you have placed in authority. Give them wisdom and prudence, that your people might live in peace and freely make known the message of reconciliation. Be with all who serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for all who cry out to you for mercy, healing, and help, including all who are on our prayer list, especially those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Ronnie, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We continue to lift Richard before your throne as he recovers from his recent surgery. Be with Wallace as he is currently hospitalized. Help him to regain his strength so that he can come home. We also ask you to be with those who have ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Bob, Don, Marvin, Amy, Francie, Eileen, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jackie, Henry, Nancy, Elaine, Robert, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Deliver them according to your will, and as you have made them a new creation in Christ, keep them mindful of the day when sorrow and sickness will be no more. As we anticipate that day, comfort those who mourn the passing of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Minette Kramer, and also the friends and family of John Peterson. Help us all to look forward to the eternal Easter when death is destroyed for good. Lord, in your mercy. Great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel, who visits us this day with his body and blood. Give to all who partake of this Holy Communion penitent hearts to receive Christ Jesus as our strength and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. sacrament, which begins on page 208. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We turn now to page 211 and we sing together the Nunc Dimittis. Pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn is 686, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks to all of you for being here among us today. What a blessing it is to begin our week in this way, joined together as brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping our Savior together. We just have a few things going on this time of the year, and I'll highlight a couple of them. So March is over tomorrow. So Tuesday, April 1st, is not only the first day of April, but it's the first Tuesday in April, and that means it's ladies' night. So, beginning at 7 o'clock, our ladies' aid is going to be having their regular meeting for April, and that'll be down in the school basement on Tuesday. Wednesday, of course, we continue our Lenten midweek worship services, and this week we will have a new pastor in our area, Pastor Jim D'Entremont, who comes from St. Salvatore in Venedy and also Olive Branch in Frogtown. He will be here in Hoyleton on Wednesday. The meal at 5:15 this week will be chicken tetrazzini, green beans and rolls. It's going to be delicious, so we hope you can join us on Wednesday. I will be at Faith in Mount Vernon on Wednesday night. I've never preached there before. It'll be a first for me. I also wanted to make sure that you're paying attention to the schedule going forward. Things are going to start changing over the next couple of weeks. The first big thing to note is that a week from this Wednesday, so the following Wednesday, April 9th, that is our final midweek worship service before Holy Week, which means here, that is our confirmand questioning. And we will be doing that service at 6 o'clock, not 6:30. We do 6 o'clock. That's a little bit of a longer service. And also, please note that there will not be a meal served that night. So 6 o'clock for the questioning on April 9th, 6:30 with a meal at 5:15 this Wednesday, April 2nd. So just make sure you're paying attention to all the different times and announcements in the bulletin. Also, one other quick thing to mention. The Ladies' Aid once a quarter is going to be having their mite box out in the narthex. We just wanted everybody to be aware that is going to happen next week. So if you want to bring an offering to support mission work in our area and beyond, next week the mite box will be there for you and you can place your offering there. That's all of my announcements. I have one more general announcement that I've been asked to make on behalf of Mr. Schaff and the school board, so I'm going to walk over to the lectern for this one. Many of you know we had a special voters meeting several weeks ago. We voted to extend a call to teach in our school to a woman named Jeanette Baumgarn. We received a letter back from her, and so I'd like to read that letter to you now. To the Board of Education for Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church and School in Hoyleton, Illinois, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the warm welcome my husband and I received at the recent tour of your school. I also greatly appreciate you considering me to fill your need for a fifth and sixth grade teacher for the 2025-26 school year. However, due to my husband declining the call to serve as pastor at Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois, I am declining the call to serve as the fifth and sixth grade teacher at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran School in Hoyleton. It is exciting to hear how the Lord is using you to further his kingdom in the Hoyleton, Illinois area. I am praying that you are able to find someone soon to assist you in that endeavor by teaching the fifth and sixth grade students in your midst in continued service of our Lord and Savior, Jeanette S. Baumgarn. So, of course, that means that we are still looking. And so if any of you have a name that you could submit to our school board, we would love to consider someone that you might have in mind who could teach in our school. We have, of course, two positions open for next school year. Are there any other announcements today? All right, well, have a blessed week. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
We hope you could come and join us again next week.